This free program is paid for by the listeners of WBAI New York. If you're not already a member, think about joining us to help keep free speech alive.
Hi there, everybody. This is Armand DeMille with you with the Positive Mind program, meant to bring you ideas, concepts, and guests to help you lead a more positively minded life. Thanks so much for those compliments, Majid. I do kind of like the back and forth that we do between the physical, spiritual, emotional, psychological selves that we address here. A businessman came to me and said, "It always seems like I'm playing a role, like I'm just there and I'm not occupying my body at all." At the end of a day, he said, "I can't wait to smoke a joint, have a drink, have sex, and watch Monday Night Football." He said, "That's how I'll spend the typical day. If not football, I'll watch something else. If I don't have sex with somebody else, I'll have sex with myself." He says, "And the rest of the time, my day is spent at work where I feel like I'm there in this uniform, in these clothes, but I feel like I'm not there and I work very well." Another person comes to see me, and she said how she has problems in her relationship with her mate, because she likes to meditate, and her mate complains that she's gone too long. She meditates for 3 hours a day, and she's in a state of bliss, and he waits. Another person said he spends his life, at least all his free time, running. He loves to run. He runs around Central Park. He runs up the East River Drive and down the East River Drive. He came in 26th in the New York City Marathon, and he's really proud of it. And running is what he does. Even if it rains, it runs. Even if it's early in the morning, he runs. He just loves to run. I got a letter. Got a letter from somebody who survived New Orleans. Let me see, I think I have it over here. Yes, I want to read it to you directly. The letter was, she said, "Where is it?" Here it is. "The wind was howling and banging at the windows. It was too late to leave. I should have left, but I didn't think it was really serious. The noise was so loud, I covered my ears, just like I did when I was a kid, and I would hear my parents screaming. When I was screaming, I closed my ears." You know what they mean. You know, you put your hands over your ears and you hope to shut out the sound. He said, "As Katrina was ripping at every part of my house, threatening to take the roof off, I closed my ears. And then it was over. It seemed like just a few seconds. But when I realized, I looked at my watch, it was an hour and a half later. I lost all time." What do all these people have in common? The guy who goes to work and doesn't know who he is and has a drink and smokes a joint and has sex and watches TV. The woman who meditates for 3 hours a day. The other person who goes running. The person who is in the middle of a trauma and can lose all sense of time. Well, my friends, they all have a dissociative ability. They dissociate. Yes, dissociate. It's the word is spelt disassociate. It's almost as if it's disassociate. But it really means to no longer associate. You know, you leave. You leave with your mind. In fact, you leave with your mind in a way to protect yourself. It's a pretty sophisticated system that we have. You're a kid, and you're in the middle of some kind of traumatic childhood. You dissociate because you don't want to be there, so you leave your mind. Well, how does that relate to somebody who meditates? You see, in meditation, frequently, one form of meditation that is taught is going to bliss. And bliss is not on the planet. Even though they may teach you in meditation to be in your body, most folks aren't. They leave their bodies. They, in effect, go into a dreamlike state called a fugue. Ah, fugues. This is Armand DeMille with you at The Positive Mind. I am trained in the field of psychology, and I'm bringing to you a concept today about dissociation, depersonalization, derealization, and fugue states. This is something I would teach in a course of psychology students, but it is very important stuff, and I think it's important for you all to know about it because it's information you could use to live a more positively minded life. We'll take your calls a little later about this, too. You see, here's the bad news, my friends. Fugue states, which are those blissful moments that many of us find, are not necessarily good for you. Yep, I know. I'm going to take away your goodies. It's like sometimes fugue states help the mind deteriorate. Here's the deal. To live an optimal life, you want to be as happy you can be with everything you do. You really want to face your demons rather than avoid them. You want to undo your lies. You want to live a more honest life. You know, so you can just be comfortable, do what you feel like doing. You have no reason to get drunk. You have no reason to get stoned. You have no reason to get lost, and you have no reason to get laid. Now, I say that because I'm including that. Look, a shock. Because that expression, getting laid, usually means a kind of meaningless sex that people have. A kind of sex, you get something. You know, it's like it doesn't matter who. I got to have that experience. If you live an honest life, if you live an optimal life, if you live a positive life, you don't have to leave as much. Okay, so let's say you're living a life you don't like, and you're hiding out. And let's say you're a kid, and you're living at home, and you don't like what goes on with your parents. So you hide up in your room, and you listen to your music, and you space out. Well, that's the best you could do. The American Psychiatric Association refers to dissociative states as being relatively benign to pathological. It has a range. Let's think about some of the different fugue states, ways of spacing out that we all have, or know, or might have known. I mean, drugs are a classic one, you know, typical drugs, any drugs, if you think about them, you know, alcohol helps you space out. You know, if you've ever been a drinker or a non-drinker, not an alcoholic, but you've ever had this yearning, I got to have a drink. I haven't known that for ages, but I remember it well. Having one drink and feeling the alcohol burn down through my system as it kind of goes down there in whatever form it goes in, whether it be a Cosmopolitan or a Manhattan or a bourbon or whatever it was, whatever it is going down, when it hits there, you could feel this kind of glow take over you. And in a way, what you've done is you've fugued. You spaced. You got a little distance between you and life. Marijuana, same thing. Toke on a joint. The kind of thing where you get that feeling, that first, that one puff, I'm dying to have it. Cigarette smoking, perpetual spacing out. You know, the interesting thing about cigarette smoking is it's always predictable what the person is avoiding. It's anger one of the ways of avoiding anger the most is with cigarette smoking, and that's what most cigarette smokers are, very angry people who just don't know what to do with their anger. They're controlling it at all times. So if you take away cigarettes from somebody who's a cigarette smoker, they become rageful for a while. That's all right. I mean, you know, cigarette smoking's not healthy for you. Lock yourself up in a pen somewhere, you know, make sure you go through your rages, get yourself one of our soundproof rooms that we have here. Scream, jump, pound, do, go through it. But rage is what comes up, and you have no protection against it when you give up your cigarettes. Other drugs, ecstasy, ketamine, right, really takes you out there. Talk about spacing out. Ecstasy takes you into the form of love that we're going to talk about, which is another way of spacing out. LSD, without a shadow of a doubt. Right, one of the ways of going. Dance. Now, how could dance? I don't want to take dance away from you, my friends, but did you ever dance to the point where you don't even know where you are? You dance into a frenzy, a fury. You get into such a place. I remember dance days of my life when we were just one massive throb, one beat, one, it was just everybody was going. If you ever go to any rave things and see them, and you know, or anything that's really hard dance where everybody's together, amazing. Nobody's home. Nobody's on the planet. You go over to somebody and say, you got change of a dollar? They, you know, they don't even know their social security numbers. All right. Another form, dance is, of course, terrific. Now, you may be hearing that I'm suggesting, I'm talking about fugue states, which are states of ecstasy, which we all try to achieve in our lives, because ecstasy is ecstasy, it's space. It means leaving, it means going to a place, a blissful place of mind, which is wonderful, but wouldn't it be nice if you had blissful place of mind right here on the planet? Wouldn't it be nice if you could feel just wonderful sitting down, you know, listening to the radio, holding hands with someone you care about? And if that weren't a very present state of being, as opposed to having to leave with your mind. Okay, how about TV? So we're talking about hypnosis in many forms. You hypnotize yourself in many ways, and you leave your body behind. You go. You just take your mind on a vacation. How is that bad for you? Well, believe it or not, your mind deteriorates when you do it. Yep. Takes out some of the good brain cells. I know. I don't want to take it away from your friends, but we're going to talk about how to keep yourself in check, how to develop those brain cells for a more positive way of being. Because, I mean, what happens to somebody who has a drink every night? What happens to somebody who smokes a joint every day or all day long? What happens to somebody who has any number of addictions? You see, addictions are all fugue states. Every addiction, no matter what it is. If your addiction is shopping, you're not home when you go shopping. You're off the planet. You're a shopper. You know what I mean? You're out there looking at shoes. And you say, well, I get those shoes or I get those shoes. Shall I get those shoes or I get those shoes? And you have 19 pairs of shoes. Or you could be shopping for electrical equipment. Or you could be shopping and never buy anything. Or you could be shopping on the internet. You know? But you're in a fugue state. The computer, the web, has done more to feed fugue states to people who are sitting there in front of their computer, and this is an expression we have, he's at the computer, meaning he's taken the needle, the hypodermic, and he's put it in his arm, right? He's being injected with internet, and he has this going through his body, and now he's looking at the screen, and it looks like he's learning, or maybe he's playing a space game, or maybe he's playing some kind of Nintendo, and some kind of game, and he's developing his arts, or maybe he's playing poker, or maybe he's researching and getting articles and finding, and one would think, well, wait a minute, that's good because you're learning, you're developing your mind. No. You're asleep the whole time. You've numbed out. You got a daughter sitting in the other room who would do nothing greater than to sit and play with you. But instead, no, you're doing your very important stuff at the computer while your daughter starves for attention. You know what I mean? So you buy her a computer. And you say, here, kid, here's what you do. You space out. You space out and I'll space out. And this is how we'll have a relationship. Little wonder the kid grows up and she finds a boyfriend. And then he spaces out in his way and she spaces out in her way. And then they have spacey kids. And nobody's home. This is Armand DeMille with you with the Positive Mind. Yes. Yes, positive. I want to bring you all around to a place where you can live a much happier life. See, it's a funny thing about happiness. Happiness doesn't come with fugue states. Happiness comes with a non-fugue state of presence. You're here. You're being here. You feel like you're here. You're on the planet. You appreciate everything in front of you. You smile because you're here, not because you're there. Many people find love states in love to be their ideal state. Ah, to be in love. They love to be in love. They love to be in love because it's their fugue state. It's their way of leaving themselves. For many people, love is a kind of addiction, and the kind of addiction that takes them away from their present selves, and therefore they never deal with themselves. They're just dealing with relationship after relationship after relationship. He said, she said, I told him, his mother told me, I found out, oh, I caught him. And that's the way your life goes. And the thing that's missing, where are you? Where is the person? One of my favorite forms of fugality, it's going into a fugue state, is music. Music, oh my gosh, you listen to music. There are things that I could put on, anything from jazz to Native American drumming. I mean, think about fugue states. Think about drumming music. Bum, ba-ba-dum, ba-ba-dum, ba-ba-dum. You know, you play drumming music, especially like in Haiti, you know, we have voodoo. You can induce a state of hypnosis in people with drumming. And they get to a place where they leave the planet just on the drum beats. And then in that place, they supposedly can contact demons and elements and angels. You see, of course, it's all that you're carrying inside. But once you get out there, it's really a wonderful, ecstatic feeling. And when you come home, you're disappointed. When you get back on the ground, somebody start the music again. Drumming music. You know, Native American drumming is kind of a fascinating thing when you listen to it, when you think about the rituals, and almost all rituals which have drumming in it. They were meant to move you off the planet. Now, I know many people are going to argue, oh, no, it's about reaching your spiritual self. But your spiritual self, honey, friends, is right here where your eyes are open. If you meditate, meditate with your eyes open. Don't meditate with your eyes closed. If you make love with your eyes open. Don't close your eyes so that you're not there. Be there. See, then we talk about a real positive experience. But music will get me with a big, the other day I'm listening, I was driving somewhere and I suddenly Count Basie, oh my God, big music, big band music, suddenly comes on and I'm lost in it, lost, completely lost. A car pulls up next to me on the right. And they're playing tapes, but the tape the man is playing is a tape of me on the radio. You want to know how spaced I got? Here I am listening to Count Basie over here, and this SUV is playing a recording of my voice on one of my programs, and he downloaded from the internet. And I'm listening to somebody talk, and I recognize the voice. I turned away from my music, and I said, I know that voice coming out of the other car, the SUV, and it was me. Talk about unusual experiences. Opera will get me. Put me in opera. Boom, I fugue right out. You know, I mean, it's beautiful. It's exquisite. You see it, but then the voices. My favorite thing in the entire world, I highly recommend it, is get seats in the orchestra of an opera and go to sleep. I mean, just let the sound take over. I think that's what it was meant to do. You fugue out. But if you do this, and it's the only way you have pleasure and the only way you have life, it's going to have its consequences, which we're going to talk about, my friends. And I'm going to talk about how you could undo your addiction to fugues. Any kind of music could do it. A simple guitar can kind of bring you into that. Also, any sensory overload might lead to a fugue state. And this is what happens with kids, you know. Catastrophes will do it very often. If you're in a war and you're being bombed and you're in a shelter and everything around you is so horrible, you will leave the planet with your mind. You'll be huddled with a group of people and you'll be fugued. Now, we have these words called dissociation, which is when you lose your association. We have these other two words. One is called depersonalization, and the other is called derealization. You can do any of these two, the depersonalize or derealize. Depersonalize is when you feel like you're not you. You depersonalize. You don't feel your person anymore. But you feel the world around you is what it is. You just become, you have an unusual feeling. You no longer feel like yourself. So you depersonalize. Derealize is when you feel like you, but things change shape, things change form, the planet changes around you, and things start looking bizarre and strange. Derealization is one form of fugue state. Depersonalization is another. And they're both forms of dissociation. So meditation, chanting, guided imagery. You know, you go into therapy and you think you're getting cured by your therapist. Your therapist takes you into a guided imagery. And you're really basically hypnotized during that state of mind. That's why I think hypnosis is somewhat dangerous. Because, and I'm a trained hypnotist. I've studied in with some of the greats, and I understand it well, but here's one of the problems with hypnosis, is it's another fugue state. You're using a fugue state to heal a state that must be healed in the present. You've got to be able to take care of your problems in the now, not in an altered state of mind. And like meditating, meditate and feel your body. Meditate and feel your toes. Be aware of your toes. Be aware of your arms. Be aware of your genitals. Be aware of everything. Don't leave anything behind. Clear your mind, but stay present. Open your eyes and see everything around you. You know, see it. Don't stop seeing. Hear. Don't stop hearing. Smell. Don't stop smelling. And taste. All of those go with the ultimate meditation. Then you're doing something that's curative because you're bringing everything together all in one and you're feeling solid. You're feeling alive. You're feeling like a person. All addictions, as I said, are in effect that kind of thing. So what do we do about it? First of all, I'm kind of curious about you. What about you and your do you dissociate? Are there some of you out there who say to yourself, you know, I leave this planet a little too much. I don't want to be home. I don't want to be here. In traumatic events, it is wise sometimes to dissociate. A child being beaten cannot handle the reality. They just can't. They either have to do one of two things. They either have to go crazy or if they have to leave town. And they leave town with their mind, and many children, almost all people who dissociate, have some history of either tremendous neglect or violence in their childhood. I have an experiment I do with people. Those of you who know me, who have come to see me for a consultation, know of my counting numbers experiment, where we're shouting numbers back and forth, and it's just shouting numbers. And so often I do that, and I watch what happens to somebody when they're shouting loud numbers and having loud numbers shouted to them, and I watch them dissociate. Very often people who are just yelling loud will not feel a thing. As soon as they hear a loud voice, they close off and they stop feeling. Have any of you ever wondered what happened to your feelings? Where did they go? How did you become so numb? It's all part of this. And in a little while, we're going to be taking your calls. After the break, which will be in about 5 minutes, we're going to take your calls at 212-209-2900, because I'm going to want to talk to you about this a little yourself, about dissociating and how you do it. Now, remember, derealization is a subjective sense that the environment is strange or unreal. There some medications do that to you. What are they, where things get bigger or smaller? What were those words? Macroplasia and microplasia. Right. Macro and micro, where the world either looks big, 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 or the world looks small, small, small. These are some medication reactions that you could have. That's a change in the reality. You're the same, but reality changes. In the other plate, depersonalization, it's a sense of you're unreal, you're strange, you're unfamiliar to yourself. So back to PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder, is usually triggered by a dissociation that happens during a trauma. A trauma has happened. You know, 9/11 happens and you're down there. And what do you do? How do you handle the reality of falling bodies and buildings burning and assault by, you know, by enemies and things like that? How do you handle it? Some people didn't handle it at all. They spaced out. And they were walking around for literally for days. Some people walked out covered in ash, and they were in a fugue state. We, mental health clinicians, found them. And we would slowly bring them back to reality, and they may or may not remember what happened. This is called post-traumatic stress disorder. And it's a fugue state that's induced by an enormous stress. Now, usually everybody who has this reaction has, in their childhood, a predisposition. They have a predisposition to this by having had violence in their childhood. That's what we found. The people who are most likely to have a post-traumatic stress disorder are people who had childhoods with either tremendous neglect or tremendous pain. One or the other. You get kind of set up for it. Hey, let's see if any of the calls are out there. 212-209-2900. This is Armand DeMille. I have much more to go with you on this, because later I'm going to teach you how you could fix your tendency to dissociate and enter fugue states. I'm going to show you how you can fix that and how what you can do about it to retrain yourself so that you don't need to space out. If there's a call out there, Michael, I'd like to take one now. 212-209-2900, Armand DeMille. Hi there, you're on the air.
Hello.
Hello.
Yeah, how are you, Armand?
Good.
I tell you, I'm listening to your program, and it's a very great thing there that you're talking about. I myself, personally, you know, I deal with this, but I try to fight it. For example, at work, the stress levels, people who are just reacting to things, and they go off on a tangent, and they get very angry and so on. But my way out, I mean, I could easily space out and go drink or have a cigar or whatever you mentioned earlier, which I do not. I don't smoke, don't drink, don't do anything. But what I do is I reach out and I say to myself, there's a God. And that's the way I kind of deal with that, instead of trying to space out and look for some vice.
Well, but
is that okay? Or
no. No, no, it's the same thing. You know, when you say, is it okay? I met someone recently who uses religion the same kind of way. I'm not saying that there is no God. I'm not saying there is no religion.
Well, but is that spacing out?
But it's the same kind of thing. It's leaving the present, because the present is what's difficult. Now, you must tell me, you've got to tell me, what's your name, by the way?
Andy.
Andy, when you were a kid, how easy and acceptable was it for you to express anger in your family?
Well, it was easy. I mean, if you were angry, you know, I guess you showed it. You were angry.
If you were angry, Andy, did you show it?
Yeah.
And who did you get angry the most at?
Oh, like siblings.
And what about with your parents?
Parents at times, yeah.
And what would your parents make you angry about? What would they do that would infuriate you the most?
Well, if you can't go out and play, for example, that's, you know, something that I can think of off the top of my head.
They never did anything oppressive?
No.
Okay, I mean, now when you couldn't go out and play, Andy, when you couldn't go out and play, and you had to sit in your room, what would you do instead?
Well, I'd find something else to do, or watch TV or something.
And where would you go with your mind? Do you think there's any connection between what you do at work and what you did at home when you were a kid when you couldn't go out and play the way you wanted to? You used your mind to find a solution, you see?
Correct.
And it's the same pattern. And what we're looking for is to undo that pattern so you could deal with the present more effectively. Listen, I got to get going for a minute, Andy. Do call back if you get a chance, but listen in. I have much more material for you. We've got to take a short break, and when we come back, we'll do more of this, okay?
WBAI, New York.
Tahrir, Liberation. Marhaba, I'm Barbara Nimri Aziz. Tahrir is a long WBAI tradition and still strong in voices of the Arab Muslim community here and abroad. I invite you to tune in Tuesday evenings at 7 for discussions on Islam and society, justice and injustice, in-depth interviews with writers from across the world, and Fen Mashnoon, Crazy Arts, with Dean and Maysoon.
Ali Abdar Khan. Ali Abdar Khan. Lullaby. Everybody always calls up and says, what was that? Ali Abdar Khan. We'll play it again for you later. So this is Armand DeMille with you with the positive mind. If you just passed by thinking maybe you lucked into a station in Nepal or maybe in India or someplace, and you say, hey, what's that good music? Well, we have a program here called The Positive Mind on WBAI 99.5, 3 times a week, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday at 1 p.m. We bring you stuff that I reinterpret for you, information about psychology that I want to bring you that will help you understand yourself a little better. That's the idea. Today we're talking about a complex psychological phenomenon called dissociative disorders. I mean, it was really considered mysterious and rare. Dissociative identity disorder, which is also known as multiple personality dysfunction, fits under this. See, people who dissociate, people who leave the planet, people who... Dissociation is a mental process which produces a lack of connection in a person's thoughts, memories, feelings, actions, or sense of identity with the present. You leave town with your mind. That's called dissociating. Now, most clinicians believe that dissociation exists on a continuum of severity. The continuum reflects a wide range of experiences and or symptoms. At one end are mild dissociative experiences common to most people, like daydreaming. Well, what's wrong with daydreaming? Nothing if it's occasional. Occasional daydreaming, 5 minutes a day. Okay, one of the rules of alcoholism. If you drink to the point of inebriation twice a week or more, they consider you an alcoholic. So it's nice to have some rules. I'll make up some rules, okay? These are all made up in my mind. These are not rules of the neighborhood. But I would say if you daydream a lot, you dissociate more than is good for you. Because it becomes bad for you to be able to just leave too often and not deal with what's there. So daydreaming, highway hypnosis is another form, of dissociation. And highway hypnosis, driving, the worst thing, one of the worst things that they have, and I've used it often enough, what do you call that thing where you set it so that you don't cruise control? That's exactly what dissociation is. It's cruise control. You set it on 62, and you just take your foot off the gas, and now nothing. It's taking you. Well, it's kind of the ideal thing, and you basically are asleep at the wheel. And it doesn't matter. I mean, there's very little danger to it. It's because when danger creeps up, you just hit your brake. But you space out during that time. Or getting lost in a book. Reading a mystery book, it's the same thing. Just because it's a book doesn't mean it's any better. You read trash novels. I hate using the word trash novels because it's science could be trash novel too, Or go to the movies. All of which involve losing touch with conscious awareness of one's immediate surroundings. The most popular movies of all time, horror movies. Why do you think people want to go to horror movies? Because they get lost. They dissociate. They become so scared that they are not there anymore. They talk about it afterwards. Oh, my gosh. The more horrible it was, the greater it was. Because the more horrible it was, the more it allowed you to leave your body. In fear, and all the surge of all these chemicals going through your body, and you get lost in this creation on television that you think is true. So much so that when the guy shows up with the hood on or with the axe, you duck as if it's real. At the other extreme is complex chronic dissociation, such as in multiple personality, such as in people who have some conditions that, that is really scary to look at. They don't even talk, you know, they just don't talk anymore. They're not here anymore. When faced with an overwhelming traumatic situation, many children could resort to going away in their head. Children typically use this ability as an extremely effective defense against acute physical or emotional pain, or even anticipation of the pain. You get nervous about, you know, they're going to hit me when I come home, or they're going to start screaming, and you leave the planet with your mind. But the trouble is, your mind gets used to leaving rather than dealing, and you wind up in relationships where you're not home 90% of the time. You're not there. You're just numb. And you're in love with somebody who's also numb. And the two of you spend numb time together, and you increase the numb time. You go from, well, we just hung out, and I watched television, and he went running for 2 hours a day. Now he goes to the gym for 1 hour, and I watch television, and I'm at my computer for 3 hours a day, and then 4 hours a day. And then you're sleeping most of the time. And little by little, the mind goes to sleep. Let's talk about our precious brain cells. They love to stretch. Not stretch on a computer. They like to stretch in reality. Talk to people. Talk to people in the present. Look at things in the present. Let me give you an idea of some of the things you could do to train your mind. Let me see. I made a list of them. You can train your mind to actually get better. I know I put it there. And, oh, and I promise to take a couple more of your calls. This is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind. 212-209-2900. Let's take one of your calls. Hi there, you're on the air. This is Armand DeMille. Hello there. 212-209-2900. All right. And we have, I'm trying to find a list. Here's some of the things that you do. Here we go. Hi there.
Hello?
Yes.
Hi, I was wondering if you could, because I've been listening to what you've been saying today, if you could comment on how, I know that the Dalai Lama was doing studies with scientific people on how meditation can train the mind. Is that exactly what you're talking about?
Well, yes, and there's one form of meditation where you are present. This is what I'm saying. And present means you're here. You know, in other words, it's not meditation and leaving the planet. And yes, using meditation, meaning getting everything quiet around you and embracing everything around you, does train your mind. Being present trains your mind. Where are you right now?
I'm sitting in a car outside my friend's house waiting for him to show up.
Tell me everything you see.
There's a mailbox in front of me with a bleach stain from the sun. Trees, this road I'm sitting on, the dash of my car, notebooks scattered around.
Tell me about your dashboard of your car.
It's a little messy. It's got a CD player sitting on top of it.
Mm-hmm.
Some dust from some cigarette ash.
Keep going.
Let's see.
Look at the mailbox again.
Okay.
You said it had a bleach stain. What else can you tell me about the mailbox?
It's been there for a while. It's definitely been there for a while.
Uh-huh.
It has more than one different color coat of paint on it. Made of wood.
Now, you just noticed that it had more than one different color coat of paint on it.
Mm-hmm.
Did you just see that for the first time, or did you see that the last time you were describing it to me?
I only saw it because we started going into what it was I was seeing.
So, now, that's a very interesting thing. Keep looking at the mailbox.
All right.
All right? Tell me other things you see in the mailbox.
There's like a spider web pattern on the plastic part of it. I don't know what caused that.
Go ahead.
The screws look a little stressed, holding the mailbox onto the wood.
And you mean they have an odd shape?
Yeah, the plastic around them seems to be discolored.
Uh-huh. And take a look at one of those screws.
Okay.
Can you see a screw?
I can see that it looks rust-colored.
Okay, what, and you say rust-colored, is it just rust-colored, or is it mixed between rust-colored and not rust-colored? Is it part rusty and part not rusty?
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure, I'm assuming a little bit that it's rust color. It's about 15 feet away from me.
Okay, and what you see 15 feet away from you is some kind of color, is it? Some change, some color change?
Well, it's like a dark, I mean, I assume that those are nails to begin with, and then I figured the dark color would mean that they were rusted.
Okay, so if you didn't assume it and you just saw the colors, tell me what you see instead of what you assume it is. You see a darkness versus a whiteness?
Yes.
Okay, now stare at that for just a minute. And please bear with me, friends, because I want to show you something. Look at that for a minute and look at that. And now I want you to look at just that tiny, tiny corner of a mailbox, that tiny little spot.
All right.
Isn't it amazing that it got that way?
You mean the particular characteristics of that spot in the mailbox?
Yeah.
Oh, sure. I'd say it's amazing.
And you'd say it's amazing because what's amazing about it?
Part of it would be that I noticed it, but I mean...
Yes.
It's just as... I don't want to take you off topic, but I think it's just as amazing as any other thing that I'm looking at, how
That's
it got
right.
that way.
That's exactly the point, my friend. Okay. What's your name?
My name is Adam.
Adam... That's exactly the point. Now, look at what you've done with your mind while you're waiting for your friend. You made a telephone call. As well as on the phone call, you got a chance to observe in your present world things that you had many assumptions about. But besides having the assumptions, you got into the awe and the wonder of the universe as it exists in the very present. And everything around you, without changing it, you know, without shifting things, without cleaning it up, has its own presence. You could never get bored. You could be waiting for your friend forever. And you could have such entertainment just looking all around you that you don't have to leave with your mind.
I agree.
This is what I want to teach people. This is the kind of meditation that I believe the Dalai Lama would like to teach. He would like to show the beauty of being present. Because it's in your presence, you don't make the assumptions, you embrace the whole world, and you become part of the world around you. That's mental health.
Well, aren't the techniques for teaching this kind of thing not so readily available in Western psychology?
You just did it. You just did it. Look at your dashboard. Look at the mailbox. That's it. That's the technique. You don't need more.
It's simpler than I thought.
Well, you know, I want you to write that down and make that your bumper sticker. It is simpler than I thought. Okay? Thanks for calling in.
Thanks a lot, Armand.
Sure. Albert Einstein once said that. He said, everything in life should be made as simple as possible and no simpler. Okay, so let's take a look, my friends. It is important to note that when one is tired, ill, or under stress, the feeling of spaciness, dissociation, depersonalization, derealization will return temporarily. It's a natural way of healing you. Your mind takes you away so your attention can go to your parasympathetic nervous system so that it can do the healing and repairing that it likes to do. Because the sympathetic nervous system, which comes from the active, engaged brain, usually is using up the energy. So when you're sick, you tend to get dreamy and spacey, especially when you get a flu or a cold, you know? Your mind is doing it to you because it's telling you, be quiet, be still, and let's fix it. By developing the ability to immediately label these states and knowing them, we'll get that'll go in a second. There we go. By being able to identify things. Now, here's some of the things you could do. Number one, maintain a routine. Make change slowly. Monitor your health. Watch your nutrition. Get medical checkups. Avoid drugs and alcohol if you're trying to live in the present. Okay, now reduce dissociation, which means if you catch yourself being spacey, bring yourself to the present. Look around you. Notice things around you. Avoid sensory overload. Because remember, with sensory overload, like in the horror movies, the same thing happens to you. You get this kind of overwhelming feeling, and then you space out. Avoid crowds or large spaces without boundaries if you can. drive consciously, are you ready for this, my friends, without music? Nothing drumming you to sleep. The positive mind is a good thing. It keeps you awake, keeps you alert, but nothing that puts you to sleep. And therefore, music, which is, I know, it's wonderful. Because if you're a life of stress, you want to get in your car, you want to drive, you want to listen to Bach, and you say, oh, this is my moment. No, make your life your moment. If your home is a place where you don't have your moment, make your home your moment. If that means challenging your home, if that means fighting for your rights, if that means finding your own space, do it. Do it. Make your home a happy place to be. Now, here are other things you could do. Establish time and place landmarks, such as calendars and clocks. Use them. These are landmarks to reality. These are things, you know. A lot of people say, I don't believe in clocks. I don't believe in the restriction of time. Get the restriction of time. It's not a bad thing. Let time have a beginning and an end. Try to make some lists of activities in advance. You know, like things that you have to do. Just make your list so you don't get caught up in a tizzy of having to do things without consciousness. Before going on errands, make a list of things that you're going to do on your errands so that while you're out there, you're not rushing around mindlessly. See, mindlessness is the primary thing we're trying to avoid. Now, this is something you're going to find hard to do, but thank God we have WBAI. Keep updated on current news. Do not be somebody who doesn't know that there was a flood, an earthquake, a storm. News shows, WBAI being the best there is, but whatever the news is, talk radio, headline news, I don't care what you're watching, they're helpful because they kind of give you an idea of what's happening in the world. Look at what's happening in the world. Be aware of it. You're part of it. Now, another thing to do is try to read one complete news article every day to increase your comprehension about something. So when something is reported in a newspaper, whether you do a newspaper online like the New York Times, which I think is fine, or you could pick up a newspaper, read one complete article beginning to end so you could increase your comprehension. Don't get the gist of it. Get the feeling of it. Develop a reading stamina with the aid of something that helps you stick with your reading. Don't let yourself drift off. A lot of people start to read, they fall asleep. Start to read, they can't do it. Develop a reading stamina. Prove to yourself, train yourself to read with consciousness and to learn. Now, a funny thing is you can leave talk radio and spend as much time as you want with talk radio because you're generally learning. You do not drone out with that. But be careful for putting on music all night. And especially don't leave your television on all night. Don't push yourself. After years or months, you'll find that you dissociate less and you live much more in the present. Now, living in the present, you will find, my friends, is its own great reward. Its reward is that you just feel like you got a date, finally, with yourself. And it's nice. I mean, it's a really pleasant place to be. And if you've got so much trouble with it that you can't do it on your own, find somebody to help you, whether that be a therapist or a group of some kind that you join. Just find some way to not keep yourself on your own and alone, living in your own imagined world. You know what I mean? Hey, this is Armando Mill with you with The Positive Mind. I hope you've enjoyed this. I will be back with you tomorrow at 1 p.m., my friends. And it's been a pleasure. If you want to send me an email, it's armand@brainlink, brainlink.com. A copy of today's program, which you may want, is available on the Internet. Or you can call my office, 212-757-4488. Bye-bye, my friends. Be back with you tomorrow.
Tune to listener-supported, commercial-free, community radio WBAI, WBAI.org, broadcasting at 99.5 FM. The Positive Mind with Armand DeMille returns tomorrow at 1 p.m. Coming up next at 2 o'clock, the Tuesday Arts Magazine, so please stay tuned for that. And at 3 o'clock, Talk Back with Hugh Hamilton. My name is Michael G. Haskins, your radio host and guide. Thank you so much for tuning in.
Attention all WBAI listeners. WBAI is now archiving its programming. This means that any program that you're interested in or that you didn't get a chance to hear is now available for downloading on the internet. All you have to do is put www.archive.wbai.org in your search engine and follow the instructions. Just another way to enjoy and to share WBAI's programming. Again, the site is www.archive.wbai.org.
3 cities against the wall, Ramallah, Tel Aviv, New York. On November 9, 2005, a historic art show will open simultaneously in Tel Aviv, Israel, Ramallah, Palestine, and New York City. This art show will feature the work of Palestinians, Israelis, and Americans. The purpose of this show is to protest the wall being built by Israel in occupied Palestine, because a population of more than 1 million people should not be treated as prisoners. In New York City, the show opens November 9th at 7 p.m. and runs until December 8th at both ABC No Rio, 156 Rivington Street, and the 6th Street Community Center, 638 East 6th Street. Gallery hours are Sundays, noon to 3 p.m., Tuesdays, Thursdays, and Fridays, 4 to 7 p.m. For more information, call ABC No Rio, 212-254-3697. That's 212-254-3697.
Good afternoon, and welcome to the Arts Magazine. This is Prairie Miller, and on the show today, Joyce Jones talks to filmmaker Spike Lee about his new biography, That's My Story.
Please remember that this program is supported by the listener members of WBAI New York. If you like what you hear, please consider becoming a member of WBAI or renewing if you've already joined. Basic membership is $25, but we accept any amount. Help us keep free speech alive.